You're listening to Cents Per Mile with your host, Charles Gracie, and his co-host, Paul Gibson. Joined by Josh Haynes, they'll be tackling tough industry topics, asking even tougher questions, all to find better solutions as they try to make sense make sense.
Thank you for tuning in to Cents Per Mile. I'm your host, Charles Gracie.
And I'm your co-host, Paul Gibson.
Hey, I'm Josh Haynes. What are we talking about today, guys, on this episode of Cents Per Mile?
We're talking about how to get Gen Z drivers. Is there even Gen Z drivers? Where's Gen Z?
I mean, it's been a struggle. I mean, it seems like they finally just gave up on getting millennials. And now everybody's focused on how to get Gen Z in trucks. Is it a thing? Is it possible? Why do they show less interest? And is there anything we can do about it at this point? But we'll dive in. So how you been doing, Charles?
You know, I'm here, man. It's just another day in paradise. I'm living the dream, so I'm told.
I feel like I'm living in Groundhog's Day. You know, I mean, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. We have the same two presidential candidates, it's looking like. The freight market's weird. And I'm just really hoping everything doesn't shut down in March for some reason.
Well, you know, if you look in the past, we had murder hornets, you had COVID, all kinds of stuff. I'm just wondering what's going to surface this year. They already broke out the aliens in Congress. So, I mean, what else are we going to talk about?
You got those locusts. Those locusts are supposed to be coming, right?
Oh, yeah, it's cicadas.
Cicadas. Locust, cicada, millennials, Gen Z, tomato, tomato, you know, whatever.
There is a difference. But all right, so who's sponsoring today's episode?
We got CDL Life. They got the world's largest driver audience, and Hot Seat Services, where hiring drivers is their jam.
All right, so now it's time for Behind the Wheel. So we at CDL Life have the largest driver audience in the world, and the cool part is we actually get to ask them questions. So we get real data from real drivers with real opinions about real issues. So this week, going along with our theme of, you know, Gen Z and trucking, what's the deal? We asked, which was probably a mistake the way we worded it, but we asked, why do you think younger people have little interest in driving as a career? You can imagine that this was very split. It was split between half, they're lazy, they're entitled, you can't use TikTok while you're driving. You know, or they just rather live in their mom's basement for the rest of their life. But then the other half, which I found super interesting, was there was a lot of people who had a lot of sentiment about, like, you know, they see that we're overregulated and underpaid. You know, and some people acknowledging that you used to be able to work hard, and no matter what you did, as long as you worked hard and put in the effort in, you could get ahead. In today's world, that's just not how that works anymore, you know? And the same thing with, we had a guy who's 67, and he's been driving, and he said, I wouldn't recommend this job to my children. Another person said that they got in because they're family members, you know, second, third generation trucker, you know? And he's like, you know, now that I've been in the industry, you know, it was awesome when I got here, but now, like, I don't have anything positive to say to anybody.
You mean trucking's not sexy anymore? I think the question should have been, like, if you're from Gen Z and you have a CDL, can you just click a button to let us know you exist?
Well, and that's another thing too that points out, because a lot of people, when they are trying to sell Gen Z, the way that the industry is trying to sell it right now is, oh, you can see the country, you can do all this, you can make a bunch of money.
That sounds like the recruiting ads for the army. Like, go travel the world. They leave out all the other stuff that comes with it. I know, because I got recruited.
Right, and how did that work?
I saw the world from the bow of a ship that sat in the middle of the ocean. It looks the same no matter where you were at.
Right, and it's one of those things too. Like, the other thing is the sacrifice versus the pay. You know, like, the amount that you get paid versus the sacrifice you put in. I mean, especially with so many other types of jobs available now, and truck driver pay not keeping up with the rest of the market. There's drivers pointing this out. This isn't just the stuff that we preach and say every week. We actually have drivers stating all of this.
It's crazy. It's like we're saying the things that drivers think.
Oh, weird. But all right. Well, since we're kind of almost squeezed into it, it's time for our main topic. All right, it's time to make sense. So our main topic today, like we've been talking about, is Gen Z. You know, like, I mean, I feel like trucking kind of gave up on millennials. And ironically, I know a lot of millennial drivers that found other careers in trucking while on the truck and now aren't in the truck, versus where I feel like traditionally, you know, like with older generations, it's so hard for them to get out of the truck. Like, I have a friend who is late Gen X, early boomer, and he's been driving for, I think, like almost 25 years. And he spent 5 years trying to get a job in the office and struggled to get one. I mean, he finally had to go to another company to get it. But, you know, I've got friends who are millennial drivers. I think one of them is even Gen Z, and they've found other careers through being a driver that they were able to hop to that, you know, makes them the same amount of money and they have a better work-life balance.
Hey, brother, guess which bucket I fit in? Millennial.
I didn't even think about that, Charles.
I don't know how I'm sitting right in front of you. And yeah, I had a CDL, and yes, we wanted a pathway out of the truck. It's crazy to think about that this is a topic. You want to make trucking sexy again. You know, there's nothing sexy about being in a truck for 3 to 4 weeks at a time away from your family and your loved ones and having no work-life balance, or you're home for just a 34, or that the tax write-offs have changed for company drivers. You don't get all those other things that you can write off to offset your spending on the road. I mean, we have done everything other than what we said we were trying to do, which is make trucking attractive. And then we want to wonder how to attract Gen Z. We failed at millennials. So let's, all right, fast forward to Gen Z, where work-life balance is even more important because they're not going to work to make someone else rich and have no balance or time to spend that money. And we're trying to connect the dots. I mean, all we got to do is listen, in my opinion.
Well, and I mean, there's even that hot take I made a few weeks ago that you felt uncomfortable about because it's so true. But like, it's an uncomfortable topic. But the one thing is, you know, I mean, there's two sets of it. All the drivers I know are older than all the recruiters I know. And all the recruiters I know are even older than most of the brokers that I know. And the interesting thing is recruiters and brokers typically make more than the average truck driver.
Wait, you mean you think I took a demotion in pay to step out of the truck? No, man.
You started a company. That's a whole different thing.
I started somewhere. What do you think? I came out the womb with a company? No, I started it somewhere. I was someone's recruiter. I worked my way up.
You built it and you found a way out of the truck. But I mean, you're making more money now than you were making in the truck, aren't you?
Yeah. Otherwise, I'd be in the truck.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying is, you know, like, I mean, there's lots of them in the office. Why don't they want to get in the trucks?
Well, and I think it's honestly, it's one of those things where as a parent, you hear that do as I say, not as I do. And we as an industry take that approach. You know, we want to say trucking sexy again. We want to say like it's a great, respectable profession, but we don't act like that in a lot of cases. Now, there are some carriers that do a very good job on this. But then there's others that it's this say one thing, do another. We're even seeing it revert back now because carriers have the power in who they're recruiting because they're near capacity. So they're being more choosy. And that's really cool to be in that position. But you're starting to see that, oh, I want a driver that's got 5 years experience, work for 50 cents a mile and stay out 3 to 4 weeks at a time. Like, how sexy does that look?
I never thought that trucking would go into the same situation as a lot of other industries where it turns into that whole, oh, you have to have the education and the work experience. And it's like, you know, how do you get the work experience if you don't get a job?
But you know what's interesting on this, and I think it's a take a lot of people don't discuss, is it's the response to our failure to communicate with Gen Z, because Gen Z is a little different. Like, all right, if I didn't like what someone said to me, I was going to have a conversation about it. I almost felt obligated to have that conversation. Gen Z will just shut down and walk away and you won't know what happened. They're just move on to the next thing because they don't owe you anything. And I think that's an important takeaway. They don't owe you an explanation if you failed to do your job properly.
Well, and I mean, I'm not trying to make excuses or anything, but I mean, at the same time, you know, I think that started with millennials. I think that's where that starts. You know, we got told to, that came later. That's just from exhaustion. You know, it's the idea that like, as a millennial, I was told, you know, like, oh, go get an education, do all these things, and immediately hit the job market. I hit the job market in 2008. Like, how do you think that worked out? And, you know, that was a once in a lifetime financial thing. You know, now I got, you know, like, what was 2020? That got weird. You know, like, it's constantly just a never. And you got to think, like, Gen Z, like, started with that stuff. I mean, the world has changed, and I don't think they have room for the BS. I don't think they have room to try. I think they're just pretty driven. And, you know, all the drivers that I do know that are under 27 at this point, like, they wanted it. This is what they wanted to do.
Speaking of starting on stuff, we got some really good guests. I think we should start in that direction to get some insights here.
All right, let's take a quick ad break.
Too often, recruiters struggle to reach qualified applicants or prioritize which leads to contact. The answer to improving lead quality is amplifying driver intent by nurturing meaningful personal connections at the right time, when the applicant is still engaged and interested in your position. What if lead nurturing was as simple as a trained professional proactively making contact with your applicant, confirming the candidate's interest, and connecting the driver to your recruiting line? Well, with the Intent Engine, it really can be. No answer? No problem. You'll never waste time dialing and redialing. We'll make multiple attempts to follow up with every candidate and automatically follow up with the full application details or a call to action to connect with your team via text message. Our custom Intent Engine solutions will achieve your company's unique goals, from lead prioritization within your ATS to further nurturing or full app prioritization. 80% of drivers reached via the Intent Engine confirm interest in the position and are ready to connect with a recruiter immediately. Our Intent solutions are changing the game when it comes to enabling recruiting teams to turn leads into genuine driver relationships.
All right, so we've got our first guest. His name is Jake. He runs an agency called Trendsetters, and it's focused entirely on Gen Z, which is crazy because they've been hired by multiple Fortune 500 companies. It's just, I've watched him on LinkedIn. The growth has been insane. So he knows what he's doing, and he's showing results. Otherwise, it wouldn't have worked. So hey, Jake, how's it going?
It's going good. Thanks so much for having me on here. I should probably start by thanking all of the drivers out there that are listeners. Obviously, we work in the marketing space, and we cannot make money if the product does not show up on time, whether that be for McDonald's or any of our small business clients. And I feel like it's often a thankless job in today's world because of political views that differ a lot from this generation. And something I'll always commend this generation is, like, get the hell over your personal political views and thank people that are actually helping you out in the real world.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you on. And so you've done some exciting things to help move this needle. And tell us a little bit about what's attractive to Gen Z in today's workforce.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it comes back to their upbringing. So I think there's a lot of opportunity with this workforce. One of the clients we work with, McDonald's, is quite literally one of the biggest employers globally outside of, like, the Bank of China and Walmart. And obviously, that's a difficult job to sell, and we work with a lot of other employers in that space. And oftentimes I hear, you know, a lot of the rebuttals that we see online, things around, hey, this generation is lazy and entitled, they'd rather live in their parents' basements, to which my response is always, like, well, I didn't raise them, so whose fault is that? You know, and the second one, I think, is a reality that you had mentioned previously about being kind of overworked and underpaid. But I don't know if that's the full story. You know, in my opinion, this is a generation that has, like millennials and even Gen X to an extent, they've been lied to, where from birth, they were told the lie that you need to work your ass off in school, go to a four-year university, get a degree, get a corporate job, work your ass off in that, move up the corporate ladder, buy a house, and hopefully by the end of that, that house goes up in insane value, and you become close to a damn near millionaire on paper with all of your assets, by the way, tied up in that house, which is the case not for the upper echelon of baby boomers right now, but look at the data on just the average. The average baby boomer in America is, like, worth $900,000, which seems like absolute insanity. Now, millennials, the majority of them are still living paycheck to paycheck. And so what do things look like for this generation with interest rates going up? How is anyone our age going to be able to afford a home? And what happened to all those corporate jobs? We saw with our parents in 2008, you know, we're too young to know quite literally what was happening there consciously, but subconsciously, There's less gifts around the Christmas tree around Christmas. You probably didn't go on vacation there. I certainly know I had a mom who worked in the mortgage industry and a dad who worked in the finance industry. Not exactly the right combination, suffice to say. And so I think because of that, this is a generation that's waking up and realizing the reality of today's world, which is there's more security in the unknown than the known. And I think that's the difficulty for known commodities, known industries, is that you can look at the past history of all the issues that have come up there and all the potential negatives of that and what has happened in really difficult, turbulent economic times. And that history then sets a really bad foundation that traverses this generation to want to go into an entirely new generation, which is why we see the creator economy and alternative jobs popping up. Now, all of that said, I will say there's a huge opportunity here because this is also the most entrepreneurial generation yet. 56% want to start their own business before the age of 25. And I think the definition of entrepreneur has evolved quite a bit, maybe less about owning your own LLC, more about having flexibility and being able to control your own earnings schedule, which is why in a lot of my generation, I got nearly booed off of stage in New York City about this. Granted, I was with a lot of marketers and you'll see why, because I would argue this is the most actually capitalistic generation yet. They want to play by the same rules that corporations get to, which is, hey, if I put in more hours, irregardless of my age, I should get paid more. It shouldn't be a totem pole based on my tenure somewhere. It should be about my output. And hey, if I want to work a ton for 6 months and take 2 months to chill, I should be able to do that because we should have a system that allows for that. And so all of that said, I think it's going to require flexibility from some of the employers in this industry. But I see huge opportunity. You know, we work with the United States DOE and the construction industry. We work with some of the biggest construction companies in the country. And we're continuing to see opportunities there despite all of the data showing us that this generation doesn't want these jobs. What gets spoken on paper in a survey isn't really real. And we've known that to always be true. So we should stop taking that at face value. And when you actually go boots on the ground and have conversations with folks, you'll see that there's actually more upside here than what many imagine.
And it's interesting on some of those takes, because a lot of it can be applied to trucking, in my opinion. You know, dealing on the recruiting side, we talk to people every day. And what you hear in these boardrooms and what you see at these conventions and what you see when people get on stage and talk about this versus the conversations that take place when you talk to these real people that are doing the job are completely different things. And when you get one-on-one, you get that realistic, that you get that very holistic conversation. And a lot of them are saying, hey, we just want to get paid. We just want to be appreciated for the job we do and people to understand that, hey, if I stay out 4 weeks, giving me 3.5 days isn't adequate. And for a driver, I get that because I did that job. What if you're gone a month, coming home for 3.5 days, what can you truly accomplish by the time you shower, shave, and sleep? I mean, these people aren't working to make us rich anymore. They want to have balance. And I think that's where we've disconnected as an industry with what's happening. You know, what are you seeing in regards to that stuff?
Yeah, I think the employer-employee relationship has evolved in an interesting way. And I think employers are way too focused on the Business Insider and BuzzFeed headlines and like the really unique cases of an employee secretly talking bad about the company or the horror stories of, you know, oh, Gen Z complains too much and DE&I this and LGBTQ plus this and all these other things that certainly matter to this generation, broadly speaking. But I think the pendulum has shifted in a way in the media that it makes the focus of leadership focus way too much on these very abstract, touchy-feely things instead of the reality of the situation. You know, what I always tell to all the corporate employers that we work with is just focus on the unit economics, focus on the real world, focus on those things. You know, it might not be the thing that you're seeing in the media or what you see on TikTok, but for the far majority of folks, that's the reality. And there tends to be too much focus around the emotional EQ, mushy-tushy, side of things that then becomes kind of a time suck instead of focusing on how do we just structure things to a more incentive or performance base, or how do we make sure...
Almost like keep it simple.
Yeah, exactly. How do we make sure that our younger employees get the same opportunities for promotions and raises as our older employees? And how do we make sure that, hey, if you're excelling in your job, your age shouldn't be a limitation? It's so funny because ageism is like something spoken about in corporate world and usually on the other side, which is, you know, older folks. But so often there are incredibly talented young people in organizations that don't get the same opportunity. They don't get to raise up, and their age kind of becomes a gap that holds them back. And personally, I love that because I go and hire all of those people and it's amazing for me. But I see that corporate companies miss out on that. And, you know, in fact, an employer we work with told me a fascinating story of the COO at this large employer mentioned how a manager had spoken about two Gen Z employees who were getting done with their job around 2 p.m. in the day and then working on a side hustle while they were in the office. And originally the manager fired those folks. And of course, the CEO had to come in and say, hold on, if they're able to get their job done that quickly, why are they getting their job done that quickly? And isn't that a good thing? They're still doing their job. Why don't we give them more? And that's what you see in a lot of the corporate landscape right now is employers frustrated with young people starting side hustles. Well, if you're not giving them an opportunity for additional income or to work more hours and they're doing that on their own volition, that, in my opinion, is a failure on you as an employer to not give them that opportunity.
Yeah, you're not managing them correctly. And that's, I started up Hot Seat as a side hustle because I had time and I needed another avenue for income. So I think, you know, there's a lot to be said there. You know, there's a lot going on here. I think we could have a whole episode on this, but I do appreciate you coming on Cents Per Mile. And I look forward to hearing more about what you got going on in the future.
Yeah, man. And I think I mean, I don't know if you're interested, but I think there is actually probably a lot of room for like consulting and stuff on this side of things, potentially. So if someone wanted to get a hold of you and talk Gen Z, where would they get a hold of you at?
Yeah, I would say hit us up on the website, trendsetters.com. Find me on LinkedIn, any social media. Jake Bajorseth. It's a Norwegian last name, so it's a little tough to spell, but if you search Trendsetters Without Vowels, you'll be able to find us. And we're always open to conversations. I don't know how many of those in the trucking industry with these hardworking jobs want to hear from a young Gen Z, but if it helps, I grew up next to a couple farms in Kansas, so I'm a bit of an old soul. I got a Led Zeppelin poster in my background. So while I'm 24 and I only work with Gen Z, I tend to be a little bit more pragmatic than you would expect.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on.
Hot Seat Services has Rent-A-Recruiter.
Wait!
Hey, Michael, have you heard that Hot Seat Services Rent-A-Recruiter service will place their staff in your organization similar to a temporary hire model?
No way. What else does it do?
Follow me. I have to tell everyone. They take leads in existing databases to put new hires into your business's trucks.
Well, shiver me timbers! What else?
Come on! Their model is more cost efficient because their recruiters are trained and can get your pipeline flowing easier and faster.
No way. Anything else?
No matter how many hires they make, it's a set cost per week, so the more they get, the better their client's cost per hire gets.
Holy sh**!
For more information and to find out for yourself, go to hotseatservices.com.
All right, so now it's time for our segment On Location, where we talk to somebody out in the field who's doing the job. Today we have Bailey from Riverside Transport. She's the recruiting director, and guess what? She's part of Gen Z. I used to work there. I remember her coming up. She's gotten where she's gotten by a lot of hard work, and she's just the best. So how's it going, Bailey?
Going really well. Thank you so much for having me.
So you're a recruiting director. So you see, you know, obviously you're trying to recruit all kinds of drivers. But is there anything particular that, you know, from personal experience or just that you've seen when it comes to trying to actually recruit Gen Z drivers?
Yeah, I would say really these days we don't get to interact with a lot of Gen Z drivers, which kind of speaks to what you guys have covered already. It's, I don't want to say a non-existent thing, but it's very difficult to find those people. And I think that there's a lot of reasons that we as a society have kind of built that make it difficult. lack of education is a big one, in my opinion. When I was in high school, which was not that long ago, nobody told me about transportation. None of my peers knew about transportation. It kind of just fell into my lap by accident. And I still today don't have a lot of peers that are my age, even on the office side. So I think that we kind of have to do a better job as a society of getting in front of young people sooner. And especially when you're talking about age restrictions, you know, we have to have people that are at least 21 to go over the road these days. And then, like you mentioned, with requiring experience, a lot of these companies are requiring at least a year to get drivers on. So by that point, you're looking at 22. And a lot of Gen Z, they are set forth on a career path by that time because of, you know, what Jake mentioned. You basically have people telling Gen Z, you've got to go to school, you've got to get your degree, you've got to do X, Y, Z to get where you need to be. And by the time they're able to come into trucking, they've already kind of done that stuff for the most part. So I think we just have to do a little bit better of a job at getting in front of people sooner.
I know there's an organization called Next Generation of Trucking that Lindsay Trent runs that we were going to try and get her on. She's on vacation. We'll definitely have her on another episode. But that's kind of what she does, is they run an organization to go to high schools and show these kids, you know, about trucking and introduce them to it faster and different programs that they can get into to try to solve that gap year or gap years, I guess, issue. So I definitely get the awareness thing. But then you brought up a good point, especially with them lowering the age of drivers. It's interesting that drivers still can't get in the truck until they're 21 because insurance companies.
But it even goes beyond that. In most cases, 23 is a lot of the insurance capabilities that carriers have to hire from. And you hear it a lot in these, Bailey, you attend a lot of the same summits and stuff I'm at. Truck driving is the second career choice. It's known for being that second career path. People usually had something else first before entering the truck. I think we just need to do better at getting to them earlier. You know, Matt's great example. Bring your kids. Make it a family event. Incorporate educational value to it. You know, Bailey, with you being the director of recruiting over there, I'm sure you guys, and I follow you guys, so I know you're doing it, you guys have a lot of fun approaches to try to make yourselves stand out and be different. And to me, that means you're targeting a different audience than a lot of other people. So tell us a little bit about some of the ways that you're doing this to try to move that needle.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen some of our commercials, RTI commercials, they're hilarious. We do try and just be more creative with getting in front of people in different ways. So trying to be humorous and just have more of a comedic approach to it. Like you guys mentioned, it's not a glamorous lifestyle. So you do have to kind of find those things to highlight that do make the job attractive. So I think just kind of thinking outside of the box on your advertising and thinking about the way that media has changed with the younger generations. Advertising the way we know it 10 years ago, it's not the same. It's not viewed the same by the younger generation. So you really have to think about, how do you catch people's eye? How do you get people interested in learning more about you?
All right. And last question, just a real, real quick one. So aside from humor, part of the humor you talked about acknowledging, you know, like all of it. One of the big things I feel like is a lot of these younger people are being sold things different than they are. How important is it to be authentic and sell everything exactly how it actually is?
It is so important. With Gen Z, you have to be very upfront, and you can find creative ways to do it. You can find fun ways to do it. But at the end of the day, you do have to be very honest, because they're going to find out if you're not. And the old bait and switch, it doesn't work. It doesn't work anymore. So yeah, I mean, even for me, when I'm looking at advertising, when I'm going to buy a new car, I want a straight shooter. Absolutely.
If someone wanted to find you guys, how would they find you guys, Bailey?
Oh, you can look us up on riversidetransport.com. You can give me a call. My phone number is 913-233-5583. I would be happy to recruit you. I'll speak to you personally. We're hiring over-the-road drivers and regional drivers, and we're definitely a good long-term company. So if you're looking for a family-type environment, we would love to have you.
Well, good. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
Well, Paul, a lot of great stuff. I think that's a wrap. Until next week, I'm Charles Gracie with Cents Per Mile.
And I'm your co-host, Paul Gibson. See you next time.